It still is a historic treaty, and it really is setting a different trend, where the majority of countries that don't have nuclear weapons have finally basically established what they want for the rest of the world, as opposed to being held at ransom, really, as we have been for many years, by the 9 states that have nuclear weapons. But on the other hand, the treaty is really wanting to be open to states that have nuclear weapons or have been connected with nuclear weapons on their territories, even though they're not a nuclear state, to actually really come to the treaty later, because what it has are the prohibitions on nuclear weapons, and any state can actually review its position and consider those prohibitions. And there's ways in which they can work towards actually joining the treaty and being committed to it.
In light of recent events in North Korea and the international reaction to the testing of an intercontinental ballistic missile, has this treaty come at a good time or a bad time, do you think?
I think it's a very good time, and of course everyone is concerned when states appear to be testing nuclear weapons, and states which have them are concerned with those actions. What you have here with this treaty is it is answering some of the weaknesses of existing treaties. The Non-Proliferation Treaty also has a commitment by nuclear states to disarm, and they haven't really disarmed. They have spent more time being concerned with other states not having weapons that they themselves have, and instead we still have a build-up, development, funding, financing of nuclear weapons. And that is what there's a turnaround here of saying, do we want the state of the world and people to be affected by what, in fact, no state, even a nuclear-armed state, cannot address the humanitarian consequences of any use of these weapons, even a non-aggressive use or an accidental use. So that's really the different starting point of this treaty, and it has been developed over time, over the last few years, of more and more states recognizing that no matter what, the consequences of these weapons simply cannot be answered by no country's health services, social services. The environment could not take the black cloud that might envelop the earth and affect food supply. So, you know, this is where you're getting to the heart of these weapons that do exist and are a threat, whether they're used or not, to everybody. And you have the majority of states, you have 122 out of the General Assembly's 196. If those countries have come to the table, sat for weeks working out a treaty, they're not doing it for nothing. They're doing it because they're really concerned that we don't have controls on these weapons of mass destruction. It's the last one we haven't got a control on. And now you have a legally binding treaty. It is international law. And the prohibitions there have been carefully thought out, but also to allow countries that do have nuclear weapons to consider them and find their way into using these prohibitions and working on joining, actually, other states concerned about these weapons.
You say legally binding, but surely not until the requisite number of countries have ratified. I believe at least 50 have to ratify, and once that's happened, then the treaty comes into force within 90 days. So historically, once these particular agreements are reached, it often seems to take a long time, for whatever reason, for countries to ratify. So how long do you think it will take?
In the sense when you already have 122 countries that have adopted this and supported the treaty, definitely it will take time. Every country will consider, and there are processes that you have to go through. But September the 20th this year is when the treaty is open for signing. And then we will have to see and obviously work on the countries that we have any influence over to actually, you know, sign the treaty and ratify it so that we get that number of 50, and then we can work on the application of the treaty.
Previous treaties that have been signed down the years have dealt with matters like biological weapons, chemical weapons, landmines, for example, was another very important treaty. And in each case, perhaps the most important nations, you would think, didn't sign those treaties, but eventually were dragged kicking and screaming to the party. So is that what you think will happen this time? That the 122, if they all ratify this treaty, inch by inch, can put pressure on countries like America, like the UK and the other nuclear-armed states to wind their nuclear weapons back?
It was interesting to hear the states that supported the treaty speaking when they can after voting on why. And many mentioned the fact, you know, that we have a moral duty. So they felt an obligation as states, and they made their vote that way. But they also said, you know, it's interesting that there's a reference to the ethical aspect of the use of nuclear weapons. And then now they're saying, and now we have a legal prohibition on nuclear weapons. So you're having not just a feeling that this is dangerous and a moral duty to work for protecting humanity, which other countries feel, but also the fact there's now some legal instrument which actually can be applied, and you can go through other processes of making that. It is the norm. It is now adding to the norm that these weapons are illegal and dangerous, and they join other weapons of mass destruction as being described as that. Chemical weapons, landmines have been described and have been banned, and now nuclear weapons have been banned. That's a great international norm that's been established now, reflecting the feeling of many, many states, including the Pacific states, I should add.